Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Welcome to the September edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and I'm really excited about our time together today. Glad to have my son Larry with me, and we're going to be talking about impacting the next generation. And Larry's been on staff here. How many years at Lancaster Baptist, Larry?
Been on staff for about 12 years.
12 years. It's amazing how time goes by. I guess one of the greatest joys of my life as a pastor, but especially as a dad, is to have our children serving the Lord with us. And Larry, of course, now has become a man of God that is being used greatly in our church. One of our deacons was telling me last night about the message you preached on the subject of abortion and how much he appreciated the message. And I appreciate a youth pastor who rightly divides the word. And Larry, thanks for being with me in my office here today. And you know, when you think about the next generation, we read a lot of statistics about losing young people from, say, age 18 to 21 from the faith. We hear a lot about youth ministries that have gotten into the philosophy more of just, you know, the games and the entertainment mode and heavy metal bands. And kids are getting an idea of church that doesn't always help them to be able to stand and contend for their faith in this society. And so as you think about it, you know, as you take every Wednesday night with several hundred teens and working with our youth group on a daily basis, I'd like you to share with us maybe some things that you would say are critical components in building a youth group that's making life change. And I mean, not just growing a beard and stuff like that, you know, but what are some of the real, you know, wire rim glasses and beards or whatever, you know, but what are the things that you'd say, you know, when you're really thinking about biblical ministry, this is what counts. And so why don't you start us off today and tell us maybe a little bit about the youth ministry here. How many high schools are we working with? What about our local high school? And then we'll get into some of the specific philosophy.
Okay, so we have, I think last night we had teen Bible study, and we probably had 7th through 12th grade, right around 300 mm-hmm. teens in there last night. It was the last night of our summer program, and we run an accountability program throughout the summer. And so had some fun afterwards last night with some root beer floats and stuff like that. But good time last night in teen Bible study. We are in some of the public high schools around us. The number fluctuates between 4, 5, and 7 different clubs that we're in, different the different high schools. We also minister to a lot of the different sports teams that are around. So those are some of the ways that we try to reach out into our community and be a light in those public high school campuses. And then, yeah, of course, the teens that are here. And we are, we're fortunate. We have some families that have come here and been reached through our church and then have been rooted and grounded and are now bringing up kids who are now teenagers.
Right.
And so I benefit as a youth pastor from a family that's been grounded in God's words for now, you know, some of them decades.
Yeah.
And I remember a year ago or so, you told me, man, you got a really good senior class. And I told you, I'm not going to take the credit for this class and I won't take the blame for the next one. but I really, a lot of the credit is due to parents
yeah.
Who have raised godly kids. So that's a little bit about our youth group. And we're not perfect for sure. We're learning and growing and constantly adjusting. You talk about the next generation, and it's Generation Z. It's the largest generation right now. I mean, it's massive, and it's different than any other generation. So we've got to understand and reach them where they are, and yeah. So that's a big task for sure.
Yeah, and I do think there's something to the relevancy factor. I think pastors all grapple with it. You know, my opinion. I think some go too far left too fast, but also some just are hanging on to, you know, nomenclature and feel of the 50s, thinking that that's fundamentalism. And so, you know, talk to us a little bit about how you do try to reach some of these young people, because, you know, their attention span is different, their values are different, their idea of commitment is different. How do you continually engage them? And, you know, because when I'm over there with you sometimes on Wednesday nights, I can tell they love you, They love their church, and they don't need to be written off. I mean, they want to know God, mm-hmm. you know. And what are some things that you've tried to do to be where they are, you know, in philosophically, and to get to know them?
Yeah. So you mentioned relevance. Relevance is, we've said it this way, it's a tool, not a target. So the goal is not to just be relevant,
that's
you know.
Good.
And I think yeah. that some youth ministries I've seen, that's just like, we just want to, you know, it's the target. We want to be cool. We want to be there.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's a tool to communicate God's truth, because God's truth is timeless. So, we can communicate God's timeless truth with relevancy. And that's a little bit what we've tried to do. Teaching God's word, not watering it down, not dumbing it down. I think sometimes we think that, sometimes elementary school students are held to a higher standard than teenagers are.
Yeah.
And so we really need to teach to them as young adults that can
right.
understand and hold and look for ways to raise the bar. And I think that teens appreciate that.
They respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with the teens, I've watched that they tend to gravitate to someone that treats them like you're describing. In mm-hmm. other words, they like having fun, mm-hmm. but they want to know what is wrong with abortion, or what is, mm-hmm. why is the Bible the word of God? Not only do they want to know it, they need to know it.
Right.
And I hear that from parents often about your philosophy of ministry. A couple of parents went to teen camp. Their comment to me was, I cannot believe the content that our children are getting. And you know, usually they'll say something like, you can't believe how high they jumped off the thing into the pool, or they zip lined, and they loved the zip lining. They loved everything else you did. But so I think you're right. And I love what you said, that this matter of relevancy and philosophy, in the sense of the fun factor, that's not the target. Here at Lancaster Baptist, we believe that Jesus is the target. Mm-hmm. And we do employ some different tools at different age levels to try to reach our generation.
And we've heard so many times around here, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So that's a lot of what youth ministry is, like the fun stuff where you are throwing a ball around or playing a game. There's a purpose for all of that, and that's investing. You can do that in a group setting. It's best, and this always talked to me, on a one-on-one relationship. So like, we will try to get one-on-one with as many teens as we can this year. Just to have lunches, but we want to invest into them, and the dividend on that on the back end is influence. So
right.
you have an investment relationally, and then you have influence. So then you can come speak truth in your life. Any teen, if you just grab them and try to speak truth in your life, and you've never invested in them, they don't know who they are.
No. Yeah.
It's not going to go well, usually.
Yeah.
And so we want to invest into them, and then have those moments where we can speak truth into their lives.
Right.
And then, yeah, create a space where they can ask questions. I mean, they're seeing more things than, and I'm only 15 years removed from them in high school, but man, they've seen more things and heard more things than even I have ever seen. Yeah. And so, with that comes a lot of questions, and if they can't ask those questions at church and youth group, they'll go, find them somewhere else. Information is more accessible than it's ever been. Just through the internet, and they can Google a quick question. What is lacking today is the ability to process that information.
Right.
So there are groups out there that'll welcome them to help them process that information, sometimes incorrectly. And that's really the new challenge of education, is to help teens take that information that they've been bombarded with, and then how can you process this with a biblical worldview, which is so important, because Generation Z, one of the defining characteristics is that they are post-Christian.
Yeah.
And so we need to help them to understand how to live a Christian life in a post-Christian culture.
And I really think the relationship value that you're discussing is absolutely needed, because I've often said to the staff, rules without relationships breeds rebellion. So if we're just thumping kids or telling them what to do, and they don't even know us, or we don't know them, do we have the right to do that with a kid first day of school, tell them to get in line? Yes. But if we have to correct a major issue and we have a relationship with them,
right.
so much more important.
This is a tension here, because we have a Christian school, and then we have our youth group, and and there are institutional rules.
Right.
And I think we overcome this hurdle by just acknowledging the fact. So I talk to our teens, there are institutional. I'd rather speak to our teens in team Bible study because they don't get demerits.
Right.
If they don't listen to me, I feel like I have to earn
right.
their attention and keep them there. But there are institutional rules, and I try to help them to understand the division of that and acknowledge. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I love what happens on our campus. I was watching our tackle football team practice yesterday. I was watching last night the teens as they were going to Bible study to be with you. It's such a blessing for me. I can't think of a better place to raise a family, even though we're out here in crazy California and so forth. And we're blessed, but we have to work at it all the time. And
right.
why don't you just take a minute and walk us through four or five of those pillars that you would say,
right.
these are really some absolute pillars for a godly youth group.
Okay, and I use the word pillars when I'm speaking to our youth leaders because you can't remove any one of these without affecting the integrity of youth ministry. And
okay.
This is something that we come back to all the time. We're gonna have youth training in 2 weeks. There are times where we do better at this and not, but this is kind of our measuring mm-hmm. rod that we wanna look up to. How are we doing with this? My Ashley, she loves the show. My wife loves the show where they go in and they demolish a house.
Yeah.
You know? And she loves it when they go and try to do it on their own without professional help. And one of the mistakes that they'll sometimes do is that they will remove a load-bearing wall
yeah.
and then everything crashes. And I don't know why, it's just entertaining to see. Yeah. So all of these pillars are load-bearing. If
okay.
you remove a single one of them, the whole thing comes crashing down. So I think the first one is passionate youth leaders. I heard one time what gets sacrificed in the busyness of youth ministry, or ministry for that matter, is not our to-do list, but our hearts. Mm. So if we put together a youth calendar, we're gonna get all those things done. But what we may not get done is just our personal time with the Lord and keeping it real. And old Scottish minister said, the best way to overcome the world is by showing the youth something more excellent than the world.
Right.
And letting them see the excellency of Christ in our life. So that's the first thing.
Yeah. Just having the right passion. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, Christian workers and with teenagers, they think the whole idea is being disciplinarians. And one of the things we're trying to work on, even in our church right now, is just the modeling of the joy of worship, the joy of serving. And I know I was always attracted to a teen worker that was excited about Jesus, you know. And
it's funny because teens can spot something that's not authentic like a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
And they give themselves a pass
yeah.
When they're not being, you know, when they're putting on a facade, but man, they can spot it. So our youth leaders have to be real and then ready to initiate relationships with them and ready to step in. So youth leaders would be the first one. Then the next one would be just kind of a ministry strategy.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is kind of like an outreach strategy, a strategy for reaching teens. And that's why I mentioned the public high schools and some of the things we do with the football teams and just even our teen outreach on Saturdays.
And talk about that, Larry, because someone might say, well, the teens go out in the neighborhoods and they talk to people about Jesus, and maybe it's not always the most fruitful. Maybe there's, you know, obviously there's folks saved and we thank the Lord for that, but maybe not a number some people think. But isn't it true that there's a work happening in the hearts of the teenagers as they learn how to talk about Jesus?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's, I mean, we just returned home from a missions trip. And, you know, what impact did we leave there? I'm not exactly sure. I know we saw souls saved. I know we did our best to be a blessing to the missionaries and pastors that we were with. But the reason we go on that trip is to have an impact on our hearts.
Yeah.
And so our teens could, first of all, get out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, we do that in the week, you know.
Right.
Going and knocking on someone's door, initiating a conversation is out of our comfort zone. But so definitely a benefit there. And then just a familiarity with the gospel and obviously obedience
right.
to telling others about Christ.
And for those that are interested, we're going to put a tag at the end of this podcast of the video from the recent missions trip so that you can maybe see and hear some of the testimonies from the Lancaster Baptist teens who experienced that life change in their heart as they served, and we hope that you'll enjoy that. What's the third pillar?
Third pillar is biblical preaching and teaching. obviously in the worship services. And I think this is something that we talked recently about, even in our church services, we should be mindful of the teens that are, right, that are in there. But of course, in our Sunday school classes and our morning connection groups and in our teen Bible study on Wednesday night, we want to make sure that we are teaching. I like to do, in Bible study, I like to do a character study, a book study, and then a maybe a short topical, yeah, like hit something like dating. But then all of those would be expository, yeah, you know, making sure that they're getting the Word of God. There's so much self-help, you know, type, yeah, teaching out there that we want to make sure that we're rooting them in the Word of God and then also showing them Christ in everything that, that we teach.
We had some teens preach this spring from our youth group, and I think it blessed my heart. And some of these young men, they just rightly divided the word. I mean, it wasn't just funny, and it certainly wasn't just hanky waving. It was preaching. It was biblical preaching. And we must emphasize that. You know, one of my burdens, Larry, and you know this, is that so many youth groups are producing kids to secular college, no college, or Christian colleges that aren't emphasizing the ministry. And I'm a firm believer that they're not going to be young men coming into the ministry as preachers if we're not modeling biblical preaching as an exciting privilege, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is true that the youth pastor needs to get into the word and feed that youth group. So yeah.
Well, you know, I said this at our staff events a couple days ago. One of the reasons that teens are not staying in church is because, first of all, they don't know what they believe. And so we need to teach them those truths and rehearse them every single year. And then they're not serving. And so they need to be able to take in what they believe, but then verbalize that as well. And that's why even letting them have opportunities to preach. And it's not just once a year at a youth night. You've right. met with them throughout the year and given them opportunity to develop sermons. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons we're seeing a good number of teens from our youth group every year go into Bible college, because they get the idea while they're still teenagers, God's letting me do this, and this is fun, and they want to follow the pattern. What's the next pillar?
The next pillar would be just growth opportunities and opportunities to deepen their faith, opportunities to reach others. So that would, to deepen their faith, those are things like our offering. And there's a lot of things that we do. It may be a challenge to read through the New Testament, you know, through a period of time, to give during a special offering. But the key is we want to be doing whatever the church is doing.
Yeah.
Because the youth department is just not like, you know, it's not the glove box of the church. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes churches can think that way, like, where do we put the teens? Yeah. Like, we're doing this as a church family, so where do we put the teens? So what the youth ministry, we want to do, and I remind our parents of this and I remind our teens, is that we are the church. The church is the body. Yeah. We're just as much a part of the church as you know, any other faction of the church. So when the church is doing something, what we want to do is we want to be involved. And right. so if you guys are doing a big special offering, or we want to do a big special offering. Yeah. If there's a missions conference here that the church is involved and engaged in, we want to talk about how we can get the teens involved in that. Yeah. So those opportunities, a lot of those come from just mirroring what's happening in the church. But then things like missions trips and maybe our Love Works outreach, where we'll take teens out to the public schools with us and get them serving. So yeah. their faith will stagnate if there's not an opportunity for them to activate. You know, so it's not yeah. just Wednesday filling our heads with head knowledge. It's then going and living out and applying that.
How do you deal with that? In the, like, we're starting school this month. How do you deal with that just from the scheduling standpoint? Have you worked? Because it seems to me like there are some times when there's some give and take there, and you're like, this is a busy school season. We're mm-hmm. going to pull back a little bit and let them do homecoming mm-hmm. or whatever. How have you dealt with that just from a practical standpoint?
Yeah, it's just something that you have to be aware and have to be, you know, you have to manage. A few years ago, we planned a big outreach event, and we planned it on the same day that all the schools in our valley were having their homecoming, you know, so that was kind of a bummer. So it's helpful to be aware of the calendars. Kids are yeah. busier today than they ever, yeah. but some of them go in our valley, go to school at 6. One of our schools in our valley doesn't get out till 3:40. So they're at school for a long time. And we had a new youth intern start yesterday, and I told them that, especially during the school year, you have to be very intentional, because you might have a small window to reach that team in the afternoon before they're heading off to bed. And so I think just being mindful of that calendar. There are some times where we can't fit a calendar on the another activity on the calendar. So what we'll try to do is take team Bible study, a moment where they're already here at church, and turn that into an activity or that into an outreach event.
And that, we've been trying to do that church-wide with certain, you know, if it's an already existing service, but we have a need to emphasize something for men or ladies, can we split that? Can we do it without creating another night? And that's really
And
wise.
Yesterday, like, we scheduled home fellowships for every single one of our youth classes. And so, because October is busy and September is busy, so they're already going to be here on Sunday night, many of them, the core would be.
Right.
And so we're just going to have them over at our house on Sunday night afterwards for
That's great. I think parents, I think everybody appreciates not having another night. So
what's
your final thought about youth ministry that you'd like to share with us?
The final thought would be parents. Parents terrified me, especially the first few years. I would avoid parents. And maybe that's just me, but I was a teen parent meeting scared me to death. But I think that last pillar is that the parents have to be informed. Some of our parents are Christian or public school teachers, and so they've got to have their vacation time a year ahead in advance. So we want to make sure that we have a calendar to them early, and so that way we're just informing them. But I remember you're the one that told me this, is that our parents need instruction. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was a little timid at first, because I don't have any teenagers.
I remember that,
I have a three-nager, you know?
Yeah,
well, she's four now, but she thinks she's a teenager. but I remember you telling me just to take God's word and apply, and then just challenge dads to be there for their daughters and to spend time in devotions. And it doesn't matter, you know, what age. Those are timeless truths that anyone
can
communicate.
And I can tell you, I mean, in our church, Larry, that the parents not only respect you, but they really appreciate that. And as scared as you may have been to teach parents when you first became youth pastor, those parents are frightened about the prospects of raising a teenager. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to enter into that space with God's word and give the principles they need.
And then if we go and we take a teen to lunch or we talk to a teen, this was something that was taught to me, always write a follow-up letter, always connect with the parent, because you've multiplied your impact.
Right. And you've reiterated your position.
Yeah, I remember the first few times I didn't do that. You know, I would have this, like, you know, ground-shattering conversation with a teenager where we really got down to, like, you know, the issue and made some headway. And then I talked to their parents the next day, and the teens will never say anything to their parents, you know?
Right, yeah.
And at first that surprised me, but now that's why I know it's so important to have that follow-up conversation, like, hey, we talked about this. Did they let you know?
And really to keep authority on the same page.
Right.
Right? Because a threefold cord cannot be broken. We always say that about the Christian school, the church, and the family. But the teens need to know that the parents are going to be on the end with whatever you're saying.
Yeah. And the last thing on the parents is that they have to know that the primary responsibility of raising their kids falls on their shoulders. And I think sometimes in youth groups, especially a youth group that runs a good program, for lack of a better word, some parents can, you know, outsource what they should be doing. They'll drop their teenager off at a class or at a midweek and then assume that's it, and that's not it.
No.
And hopefully we can come and be a help and a blessing. But the responsibility from Deuteronomy chapter number 6 to instill those truths and teach them to love God with all their heart falls on their shoulders.
That's right. Well, those are excellent principles and pillars of youth ministry. And I know there might be a pastor, youth pastor, parent listening that would say, we certainly can use these, and I hope that you will, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. I love working with my son, but people that know me well enough know that it takes more than being my son. You have to have a right philosophy to be in a position of pastoral leadership. And Larry, thanks for having that philosophy, and thanks for leading the way that you do, both with the teens and with our church family. And I'm praying that God will bless your fall. I want to thank you for joining with us here at the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Let me tell you that if you have opportunity to go on social media and promote the podcast, we appreciate it. And there's a growing number of people every month joining with us. Thank you for spreading the word. If you have questions, feel free to email them into us here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We'd be delighted to field those questions and even answer them on the next podcast. And so thank you again, and may God bless you.
We trust you enjoyed this episode of Spiritual Leadership Podcast. If there's a question or topic you would like Pastor Chapel to address in future episodes, send an email to QA@lancasterbaptist.org.